such an encouraging week, and we come here with the hope of being an encourager to each and every one of you, but I can tell you, we are definitely leaving the encouraged. We cannot thank each and every one of you who have opened up your homes to us, who have taken us out to eat this week and fed us, and let me tell you, you have fed us well. Tonight, I am stuffed, let me tell you. But we can't thank you enough for your hospitality, for your kindness, for your kind words of encouragement. And it has been so enjoyable, such a treat to be here these past few days with you all. And again, to spend some time with Brandon and Casey and his family. We appreciate them so much. I know I don't have to tell you, but you're so blessed to have Casey and Brandon and their family with you, working here. And we appreciate them very much, appreciate the work that they do. We appreciate the elders that you have here. You're blessed with three good men. I can tell that already. This is a very good group of brethren, and all we can say is keep on keeping on and thank you. But before we leave you tonight, we got one more lesson I'd like to share tonight. I want to spend some time examining the question with you tonight. What can I do for this local church? You see, there are many today who have the attitude of what can this church do for me, rather than what can I do for this church. But wouldn't it be great if everybody had the attitude, what can I do for this local church? It would, wouldn't it? So with that thought in mind, let's just take a few moments this evening, to talk about some ways in which we all can supply our part to this local church. And I begin by suggesting to us tonight, when we examine the question, what can I do for this local church, that you can give this local church your total commitment. You see, commitment can be defined as the quality of being dedicated to a cause. And sadly, there are some Christians today who are not willing to commit themselves to a local work. Sadly, there are some Christians today who just want to come and go as they please and do what they want. They don't want to be accountable to anyone. However, we all need to seek to be committed to a local work as children of God. And all members, each and every member of this local church, needs to strive to be one who is fully committed to this local work. And we, as members of a local work, we need to be a people who seek to do whatever we can to support the local work. One of the ways that we can show our commitment to the local work is simply by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Again, sadly, there are some members who are unwilling to commit themselves to a local work. They come and go, and some are even very sporadic in their attendance. And that tells you that people like that are not totally committed to a local work. But we need to be mindful of the need to be a people who are dedicated to the local work that we are a part of. And one of those ways that we can show our commitment and dedication to the local work in which we're a part of is by taking heed and making proper application of the words of the Hebrews writer found there in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And there, you recall what the Hebrews writer instructed. He said, "Let us consider one another." Why? In order to stir up love and good works. And he goes on to say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. You want to know something? In order to fulfill the instruction given there in verse number 24, guess what's going to be required of us? We're going to have to be here, aren't we? We're going to have to be here. We're going to have to take advantage of every opportunity that we have to come together and to support the work of this local church and to encourage each and every one. And when we are one who takes advantage of every opportunity that we have to come together, to assemble together, to encourage one another, we will be on our way to showing our commitment and dedication to the local work. So I ask the question, what kind of church would this local church be? if everyone possessed the same commitment to it as you do? Think about that. That's important, isn't it? But I also ask, as we consider the question, what can I do for this local church? I suggest that you can participate in the work of this local church. Again, Ron just led us in two very encouraging hymns before our lesson. And as we sung those hymns, I want to be a worker for the Lord and to the work. Did that mean anything to you? Did it? I hope so. Because we all, as members of the local church, need to be a participant in the work of the local church. And participation is defined as the action of taking part in something. And all members of the local church are needed and useful and are in need of supplying their heart to this local work. We talked about that last night, didn't we? We talked about it last night as we learned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, as Paul tells us there, as he is talking about how there are many members of the body, but the body is one. And he uses that illustration of the physical body, about how each and every part of the physical body is needed and useful. And he makes application of that in regard to the body of Christ, about how although the body is one and it has many members, each and every member has its own function to serve to that body. And we all need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of the fact that there is work that we all can do. And we need to be reminded of the fact that we need to be supplying our part to the local work, knowing that each and every member here is needed and useful to this local work. And as we talked about even again last night, the effectiveness of supplying our part to the work, to the body, can be seen there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16, where Paul informs that it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Think about that. When each and every member of this local body of Christ supplies their part, does their share, much good is going to come of it. And in order for this local church to function to its fullest potential, each and every member of this local church is needed in providing their part to the work of this local church. And again, I ask the question, what kind of church would this local church be if everyone was involved and active as you are? Think about that. If everyone was involved and active in the work of this local church as you are, would the things that need to get done, would they get done? Would they? You see, we need to be mindful of the fact and never forget that we all are in need of supplying our part to the local work. But I also suggest to us, in regard to what can I do for this local church, I suggest that you can provide this local church with your cooperation. The word cooperation can be defined as the process of working together to the same end. And it denotes the actions of someone who is being helpful by doing whatever is asked. Again, as I mentioned earlier, you're blessed with three good elders here. And there's times when elders have to make some difficult decisions. And there's times when some are fussing and complaining about the decisions that the elders make. But we need to be reminded of the fact that elders, they have a great responsibility. That great responsibility is in overseeing the souls of this local flock. And there are times that the elders need your cooperation. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we all need to be supplying our cooperation to this local work. And when I think about that, I think about how Christians are instructed to work together and to be united. Paul talks about the need to walk in unity there in Ephesians chapter 4. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And notice this instruction of the inspired apostle, beginning here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now pay attention, beginning in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Again, here Paul is simply instructing the need for brethren to walk in unity. And as we learn here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul says that we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You want to know what that word endeavor implies? It implies the fact that it's going to require the effort and the willingness on the part of each and every one in order to walk in unity. If this local church is going to be unified, guess what? Each and every one is going to have to work toward that. We're all going to have to work together toward that. And we need to be reminded of the need to walk in unity. We need to be reminded and never forget how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133 and verse 1. And I'm here to tell you, brethren, there is nothing that is more beautiful than to see a group of God's people who are united together, who are of the same mind, who work together, and who give God the glory. And we need to be mindful of the need to provide our cooperation to this local work. When the elders make those tough decisions, instead of complaining about, and instead of complaining about that whatever decision that they made, be thankful that you have qualified men who are willing to take on that responsibility and to make those decisions and provide them with your cooperation. So I ask, what kind of church would this local church be if everyone provided the same kind of cooperation as you do? Think about that. But I also ask, as we think about what can I do for this local church, I suggest that you can provide this local church with your purity. To be pure simply denotes to be free from contamination. And as Christians, we all need to strive to keep ourselves free from the contamination of sin. You see, as Christians, we must all, each and every one, always strive to keep ourselves pure. And Paul instructed Timothy to do that very thing there in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, didn't he? Remember what Paul told Timothy? It was simple. He said, keep thyself pure. Simply put, Paul was reminding Timothy of the need to keep himself pure, to keep himself free from the contamination of sin. And each and every Christian needs to be reminded of the need to keep ourselves pure. And did you know, not only do we have the responsibility to keep ourselves pure as individual Christians, but we also have the responsibility and the obligation to keep the church pure without blemish. You're aware of that? We learn about that in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse number 27. And again there in Ephesians 5, let's just begin there in verse number 25. We see where Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church. Now watch it. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We all have that responsibility. The elders have that responsibility to make sure that this church is pure without blemish. And you will be doing the elders a favor and yourself a favor by doing your very best to keep yourself pure, to keep yourself free from the contamination of sin. And as Christians, we need to do our very best in doing that. We need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we need to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, as we see there in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12. And we need to recognize the importance of purity, knowing that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Did you know that? Did you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And we learn about that not only in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, but we also see it there in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 9. And the point is that if you let a little sin into the camp and you don't do nothing about it, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to be long, and you're going to have a camp full of sin, aren't you? Then you're going to have a problem. That's why it's important that we all recognize the need to keep ourselves pure. That's why it's important that we do our very best to strive to keep the church pure without blemish. So I ask, what kind of church would this local church be if everyone sought to be as pure as you seek to be? Think about that. But I also suggest to us, in regard to what can I do for this local church, and that is, you can pray fervently for God to bless the work of this local church. You know, that is something that each and every member of this local church should be praying for every day. Each and every day, every member of this local church should be praying for God's blessing to be upon the work of this local church. Knowing, and I know you know it, knowing that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James made that very clear, didn't you, there in James chapter 5 and verse number 16. And when you think about the need to pray for this local church, recognize the need that one of the things you should be praying for this local church for is you should be praying for it to grow and to abound spiritually here at Westside. Did you know that was Paul's prayer for the church in Colossae? We learn about that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Paul's prayer for the church in Colossae was for the Christians there to grow and to abound spiritually. That's our goal, isn't it? We all need to continue to strive to grow and abound spiritually. And as Brandon is bringing lessons and feeding you from the Word of God, be reminded of the fact of what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Remember what he said? He said, it's not good for man to live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Remember that. I'm confident you're getting fed here, brother. But take that nourishment, grow upon it, and continue to grow spiritually. And be praying that each and every member here will continue to grow and abound spiritually. I also encourage you to be praying for God to open doors to spread His Word and for Him to open hearts in this local area to heed the things spoken from His Word. That's something each and every member again should be praying for every day. You should be praying for the work of this local church, that doors may be open and that hearts may be receptive to the truth. And I think about that. I can't help but to think about Paul's prayer that we see there in Colossians chapter 4. And there in Colossians chapter 4, Paul encouraged Christians to pray continually. And then he made a request for prayers on their behalf. Notice this with me here in Colossians chapter 4, and in verse number 2, beginning. Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, now watch it. Meanwhile, praying also for us, what, Paul? That God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Think about that. Paul requested the prayers of the brethren there in Colossae in that God would open doors for him to take the message of Jesus Christ to them. And we too need to be praying for that, don't we? We need to be praying for open doors and receptive hearts. When I think about that, I'm mindful of what we find recorded there in Acts chapter 16, verse number 14. And there in Acts 16, verse 14, you're very familiar with the context there. You're very familiar with Paul and Silas being in Philippi. And they come across Lydia. Remember that? And what does God's word say there in Acts 16 and verse number 14 about Lydia? He says, the Lord opened her heart to do what? To heed the things spoken by Paul. Think about that. You see, as Christians, all we can do is sow and water the seed. That's our responsibility. But we got to leave the increase to God, don't we? We learn about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And Paul recognized the fact that he had the responsibility to sow and to water, but it was God that gave the increase. And I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it again because I believe there's a whole lot of truth in it. But I've told brethren in many places that if we would be busier doing our part, sowing and watering the seed, God would be busier in doing his part and giving the increase. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be doing our part in sowing and watering the seed, knowing that if we do our part, God will do his part. But I also suggest to us another thing that should be praying for in regard to this local church, and that is, again, pray for this local church to be united and for there to be no divisions among you, but that you would be perfectly joined together. Did you know that Jesus prayed for unity among all believers there in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23? Did you know that? Jesus' desire for all believers is for them to be united as one, for them to be one, just as he and the Father are one. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of the fact that Jesus prayed for unity among all believers. That's his desire for us as his disciples. And we need to be reminded of Paul's plea there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. And notice Paul's plea with me there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Paul said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that, Paul? What's your plea? That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Again, hold on to those words and be a people who do your very best to be united together. Be a people who do your very best in the fact that you do have the same mind and that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind, knowing that that is God's desire for you. So, I ask the question. Are you praying fervently for God to bless the work of this local church? Are you? I appreciate Charlie's prayer earlier. I appreciate his prayer for this local church. I appreciate his prayer for Brandon and Casey and their family as they labor here. Even his prayer for us and our local work. I appreciate that. We need more prayers like that. And each and every one need to be praying each and every day for God to bless this local work here at Westside. Be praying for that. Nobody can never forgetting, as we talked about, there's power in prayer. In the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. Now, as we think about what we can do for this local church, I want to remind us of what Christ did for the church. You see, he loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5, verse 25. He purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20, and in verse number 28. So never forget that, brethren. And as a member of the Lord's church, always strive to give your very best to the cause of Christ and his church. Maybe there is one among us this evening who is not yet a member of the Lord's church. You can become a member of the Lord's church this very hour. Or if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized this very hour into Christ for the remission of your sins. And by doing so, the Lord will add you to his church. Acts chapter 2 and in verse number 47. And as we've talked about and been reminded of each and every day of this gospel meeting, never forget the need to continue to keep on keeping on. Remain faithful unto death, never forgetting the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there is one among us this night who is a member of the Lord's church, but you haven't been faithful. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints here on your behalf. We plead with you to let that be made known. We plead with you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness, get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very night. And if there would be one or more among us this night, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your name you need, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song of Romans 11.